It's Nil by Mel.
Yo, back again. This is Nil by Mel. I'm Eddie Nil. And on this episode, we have Alex and Gary from Cork punk band Easy Company. I've known the lads a couple of years. Absolutely love them. Really, really fond of the guys. They organise their scene. They've got a real communal spirit down there. It's just such fun chat as well with them. Like, starts off a bit slow, but that was my fault. I think I was a bit tired that day. Apart from that, they've got an EP actually out on Spotify that's fucking brilliant. It's really worth a listen. So check that out. And here we go with Easy Company.
It's number map.
Easy Company.
Yeah.
Where did you come up with the name? What was the whole inspiration behind that?
There's kind of multiple ways we can approach that question, right? But the simple answer is that we named the band after the group of people who killed more Nazis than any group of. You ever seen the show
Band of Brothers? Yeah. Oh my
very
god!
Very much. Yeah.
Brilliant.
And John,
the only thing I've ever liked David Schwimmer in. Yeah.
It was either we called the band Easy Company or David Schwimmer. So it was.
Yeah. Brilliant. I had a feeling it was that, but I wasn't surely, you know. Fucking excellent. And how long has it been going at the moment?
It's like 2 and a bit years, man. I think we started in like November 2021, like, and
yeah.
We kind of had been playing around with the idea a little bit prior to that. Like, myself and Gary had been, we played together years ago, like, and when the Joes first started, like, so fucking, that was like back in like 2000 and like 11, 12, even before then, like, me and Gary had been playing music together, like, but it'd been sort of a long time since we played together. And then, you know, when I came back from Australia, like, the both of us were kind of doing nothing, and we were like, you know what, fuck it, like, let's kind of get something going.
I've been working.
Gary, were you in the Audible Joes as well, Gary?
I was, yeah. Yeah.
Right, I didn't realize that. Okay.
Yeah, I was one of the first proper lineup that was doing gigs and stuff like that. It would have been me, Alex, Mick, and Bal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. We were actually looking at a photo there the other day of like the very first gig we ever played, Joe's gig, like, and it was the four of us, like myself, Gary, and the two boys as well, like, fucking. So, yeah, it's crazy, man.
I had long hair like down to the middle of my back. like 90s Eddie Vedder or something.
Yeah. Oh man, so it's come full circle now. That's mad, isn't it? Like, Brian replaced you, Alex, and I'm right in Audible Joes.
That's exactly it, man. When I was leaving, like, I was kind of working with Brian at the time, like, and the boys were like, what are we supposed to do now? I was like, hey, I know a guy, like, you know. So, and then when Gary was like, all right, we need to get a drummer, like, I was like, I know a dude.
So Brian started off on drums and now he's moved to guitar, right?
Yeah, for the best.
Yeah.
No, not that he was a bad drummer.
He was a bad drummer. He's gonna kill me. No, he wasn't. In fairness to him, he's a better drummer than me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, that's not saying much. Like,
but Uwe was a sensational drummer, so it was an easy choice in that regard for sure.
Yeah. He'd been in. Am I right saying he was in the Torn or something like that? Was it or no?
He was in RPC. That was kind of his main project when we
He used to play in a few bands around Cork years ago that we used to gig with in the Joes as well, like, so that's kind of how we knew him, like, just through different kind of like the Cork music scene, like, you know. But like, it was never really through punk rock until he started playing with RPC.
With RPC, yeah, that's when he got into the kind of punk and crossover trash drumming and stuff, where we really saw that kind of side of him come through. And it was a real no-brainer, and Brian's more of an actual guitar player than he ever was a drummer as well, so it just made sense to bring him to the forefront and get a really, really solid foundation in the back, you know.
I mean, he's a really good guitar player too, like, right, he's come on like leaps and bounds since he just started playing with us, so, you know, like, he's, because he's a natural musician, he can play multiple instruments, but when he kind of puts himself into one of them, then, like, he's very good at kind of picking it up, like, whereas, like, I can barely play my instrument, like, you know what I mean, like, fucking, like, that dude's, like, picking up 3-4 at a time, like, you know, so, yeah.
And I learned one pentatonic blues scale, and I was like, that's it, I'm finished, I'm done learning.
I was told to stop learning as well by Chris. He's like, that's going to ruin your songwriting, just don't fucking learn any scale. I'm not fucking brave as well, I'm not fucking it. So there's a real sense of community then that I'm getting from you. It's like in the Cork scene, like we say Cork scene in general, punk scene or the whole Cork music scene would have a real community sort of feel to it or what?
It does, man. Like, yeah. But like, yeah. But I mean, like, I guess the music scene in Cork is somewhat fragmented now, not through like necessarily like through like any sort of controversy, if that makes sense, right? But it just might be fragmented in the sense that, you know, like there are sort of obviously distinct genres, but then, you know, people who are distinctly interested in putting on, let's say, that type of music, if that makes sense, right? You know, but there is obviously crossover, let's say, between like, you know, the punk, hardcore, metal, those kinds of scenes, right? You have a lot of the same people going to those shows, and, you know, the people who promote in those types of scenes are very much the same type of people, if that makes sense, you know?
Yeah, so you have the kind of the schism that we have in Dublin, where it's almost like three scenes into one genre, like, you know what I mean?
Man, we don't have enough bands for one scene. Like, fucking...
We have the same 90 people go to every show, whether it's punk, hardcore, metal, fuck it.
Yeah. I think that's probably better, though, because you're kind of guaranteed that, you know, you're going to get a packed house, really, aren't you, you know?
Yeah.
For the most part.
For the most part, yeah. I mean, like, the last few shows we've done have all been, like, pretty much set out. And it's the same with, like, the guys over in Dead Cult Promotions. Like, they're kind of the main promotion company. We're not a promotion company, right? You know, like, it's worth clarifying that, right? Because, you know, sometimes we get emails from people who are like, easy company promotions. We're like, no. You know, fucking... We're DIY.
You're like ourselves. You put it on just for the fucking love of it. Like, yeah.
We believe strongly, man, in like, you know, doing it yourself, right? I mean, like, it's you know, that's very much the that's very much the premise and the basis for, I think, punk rock in general. At least it should be. You know, like, you know, you have bands complaining about, oh, you know, there's no fucking opportunities for gigs, and it's like, well, you haven't put on a fucking show, right? You know what I mean? You're not organizing gigs, right? You know what I mean? Like, you want to play, then organize the show, you know what I mean? Like, you want to see your favorite band play in Cork, then organize the gig and get them down here, you know what I mean?
That's it. It's all about promoting like DIY ethics and stuff like that. And even the way we recorded the EP and stuff like that was all done very, you know, DIY, did it all ourselves, worked with people that we liked, you know. We didn't, you know, go through the channels of like having a label or anything like that, you know, backing us up. Like, everything we do and everything we intend to do in the future will all be very much DIY, very much organized by ourselves, you know.
Yeah, there was a really strong punk scene in Cork a couple of years ago, well, about 10 maybe years ago, that and it was all organized by the Rebel County Drunk Punks. You would have known those guys then, like,
yeah. We would have known them all quite well, yeah. So when we started playing with gigs at the Joes, like, the lads were very good to us, you know, obviously Bob and Wat and stuff, you know, and they, you know, God rest Bob's soul. But yeah, I mean, you know, they were very good to us, and, you know, they very much were the people who kind of instilled those types of ethics into us as well, if that makes sense, right? Because
they did it to us as well.
Really?
Yeah. We hadn't a clue really how to treat people or bands or anything like that until we met those guys, and they really taught us a hell of a lot about how to do it, you know.
Yeah, them and the guys in Belfast as well, you know, Marty and the boys are very much like in the same sort of
vein.
Very much in the same sort of vein, you know, in terms of how they treat bands and how they, you know, exactly, how they put on shows. And they're the ones who do it really the right way, you know. So we've tried to sort of take a note from their book, you know, and really, really can't thank the lads enough, I suppose, right? For
definitely, yeah. Marty, the hospitality that he provides when bands travel up to Belfast and stuff like that is something that we would definitely strive to do for traveling bands especially. But, you know, it really does create that kind of sense of community, no matter where you are in the country, when, you know, people are making such a big fuss about you coming over, and, you know,
yeah, they're making room in your house and all that and stuff like that.
The amount of bands we've put up on the couches and in our houses over the years, and, you know, try to, you know, cook for, and, you know, like the boys in Rant will tell you a funny story about me trying to cook for them in their house.
I was
going to it on camera. I was out of my fucking nut at the time. Like, literally, it was so fucking, I'd been awake all night, the boys wake up after a couple of hours kip, and I'm trying to make them fucking sausage sandwiches. One of the boys in the fucking band is a vegan, and I tried to fucking feed force feed him a sausage sandwich. He was like, man, this meat sure looks fucking authentic, like, you know. And I was like wait, shit, like, fuck. Yeah, so fucking, oh, back in my nut job days, like, so I'm a sober boy these days, though, did you know, fucking, so yeah fucking
fucking brilliant. Is it just released an EP, football and punk, is it, or punk and football?
Punk and football, yeah, close enough.
Tell us about that a bit. Where did you record that?
In our practice room.
No way.
Yeah. Again, man, DIY ethics, right? Fucking, we really try to take it literally, lot, you know, fucking. So
you still buddy, yourselves.
Yeah, but like, I mean, our buddy came up to the practice room with a laptop. Like, he's the one with all the fucking talent, like. But we literally did it in our practice space, recorded through our amps, our microphones in our room, fucking, you know. And like, yeah, we sort of just provided the kind of feedback and guidance through our own limited knowledge of mixing and mastering on what we kind of wanted, like, and our buddy kind of executed it literally flawlessly. So
yeah, so we have to give a big shout out to Mike from Factotum, because he's the one that put up with us for 3 days and listened to us. He said giving notes, but I would call it bitching and nagging, because
we basically got fucking hammered on rappers, falling around there and screaming into the microphone, just like, here, we got an idea, like, fucking, grab this, where all the SpongeBob shit came from, and all the fucking, it was just all twisted, literally, yeah. Fucking, so you know what, that man has the patience of a fucking saint, and the talent of one as well, you know, so, big shout out to Michael O'Connell, I must say.
He did a great job, I must say, considering what he had to put up with for 3 days, non-stop, you know.
Yeah. Or a total belligerence, so, yeah.
I'm fucking shocked, because it sounds great. The EP sounds fucking brilliant.
Yeah, thanks, man. Appreciate it. Like, yeah, look, man, again, we're trying to stick with that fucking, you know, like, I think that the more control you have over what you're doing, like, the better. And that includes, like, the whole process in terms of, obviously, the writing, and, you know, I mean, that goes without saying, right? But, you know, like, when it comes to even the recording and stuff like that, like, you know, like, you really want to have your own stamp on it, you know? And, like, you know, we're trying to learn a little bit more. Like, so myself and Brian now, like, we've got fucking a full studio set up in the house right now, or at least we've got, like, you know, max it up with, you know, the mics, and we've got the electric kit and all this stuff, just so we can kind of fuck around a little bit with, like, the recording ourselves and stuff, you know, and just, like, the more you learn about it, right, like, the more of an impact you can have on the process, you know?
Yeah, so. 100%, yeah. And it took us 3 days to do it then, yeah.
3 days, yeah.
Three days to record it. Obviously, it took us a lot longer to write it, and you know, we wanted to make sure before we went in there that we had all the bits ready that we wanted to record. We wanted to know everything that we wanted to layer up. You know, we definitely made sure. There was a lot of work went into being ready for the 3 day period. But yeah, the actual recording period was 3 days.
Yeah,
I think we put in like 3 12-hour shifts.
Yeah, we didn't do it on the fly. Like, it wasn't like we were in the space being like, oh, what do we do here? Like, no, we knew what we wanted to do, right? You know, and the songs were kind of written and, you know, basically mapped out ahead of time.
So, I got to give Dining credit for that. He is very much, you know, he knows what he wants. He knows what he wants from all of us. And he's going to make damn sure that we are ready before we go in there and get the recording process started.
But bands need leaders, like, you know. They really do. It can't be like, it can be a democracy to a certain point, but you need a fucking leader, like, you know.
Maybe, yeah, definitely in the background, you know what I mean? Like, fucking, but like, you know, when it comes to, like, you know, like being on stage, then Gary takes the reins, you know what I mean? I would trust nobody else to do it, you know what I mean? Like, so it's like, yeah, I think like leaders in different, like, you know, like,
oh, yeah,
if that makes sense, you know, yeah, and it's important, but you're right,
I get what you mean, but I mean, like, organizing and stuff like that, like, that, like, you know, yeah. Like, that can't be like a democracy, like, you know.
Well, no, you're right about that, right? Because like, too many chefs in one kitchen, like, fucking things do start getting messy. You know, there are certain things, like, you know, like the bands get to make a decision on, like, you know, like, as a band, right? You know, but you're right. Like, I mean, there has to be someone's kind of has to have an idea of a sense of direction that the band is going towards, and you know, like, and then, you know, some bit of a plan and how to map that out as well. You know,
yeah, I would say if it wasn't for Dining, we'd still be waiting to play our first gig.
I appreciate that, Gary, but yeah, no, I mean, look, it's very much a communal effort what we've done as a band, right? You know, it's just there has to be a guiding force, you know, behind it, I suppose, you know.
And talk me through the writing process. Who is the main songwriter, or how do you do it?
Me and Gary, like, we write all the songs, so yeah, the two of us, like, we exchange a lot back and forth, like, lyrically, we exchange a lot back and forth with riffs, everything, like, we come to each other and we're like, okay, what do you think about this, and, you know, we write well together. Even back in the day when we were in the Audible Joes, in the very early days of the Joes, we used to write the songs together early on and stuff like that as well, you know, so me and Gary have a past history with that together.
Yeah, it's very much a case where, like, I'll come up with, like, a rough idea, a couple of chords, maybe a chorus or something like that, and then I'll go to Dinan, and Dinan will write a bass, you know, a bass riff, and off that, then I might, I might change this, or I might change that, and then generally lyrics we'll write together and bounce off each other. If you went through our messenger history, it's just paragraphs and paragraphs of, you know, complaining about the government, and...
That's it, exactly it, man. Yeah. And, like, no, in fairness to the boys as well, like, I mean, like, you know, it's not to say that it's all me and Gary, right? You know, I mean, like, some of the newer stuff we're writing is kind of taking a slightly different approach, right? So while in the past particularly for the EP and the set list that we're playing at the moment, right? These were all songs that either myself or Gary had written and then brought to the lads and then, you know, kind of structured around that. Whereas some of the newer stuff is very much more like we're trying a different approach of, okay, we've got absolutely nothing mapped out. Let's see if we can write something from a blank canvas, like jamming as such, right? Which is not something that we've ever done before, but it's definitely proved like useful in terms of kind of like experimenting with different sounds and stuff like that. Like, you know, some of the stuff we're writing now at the moment sounds absolutely nothing like what you just heard on the EP.
We've gone very we've broadened our horizons a lot musically, so that everything is a lot more kind of experimental. Everything is a lot more, you know, our goal from the start was to never be pigeonholed into one particular subgenre of punk, whereas now we have all of this mad sounds. Like, no two songs on our set list sound the same, you know what I mean? And yeah. I think that's pretty cool.
I think that's
a lot to do with the writing process and the other two guys in the band and their influence on it, for sure.
I do remember making the awful promoter mistake of labeling you as something that you weren't.
Don't get me wrong, we love skatepunk, right? But it's like, man, it's so funny, like, over the years, right? Like, and we had this as well. I remember, like, when we started with the Joes, it was very similar. Like people always be like, what's this type of punker? It's that type of punker. It's this, and it's like, look, it's just punk rock, right? I mean, like, you know, if you call something punk rock, that's what it is. And that covers so much, like, such a broad, like, kind of range of kind of different sounds and styles, you know? But, like, yeah, we've had some funny ones over the years, you know, where people are like, oh, you know, or this, that, and, like, you know, for the most part, we just make light of it. So, like, that's where, like, some of us, so we're writing country songs at the moment and shit just for the crack, like, honestly, like, and we're like, let's just write all sorts of hilarious shit.
Yeah,
and
then when
people are like, oh, you know, these boys are fucking, you know, people say like pop punk or oi punk or whatever. Yeah. It's like, we're just going to fucking literally bang out a country tune for the fucking crack, you know? So
only at an Easy Company show will you get like a Waylon Jennings style outlaw country song and then like a hardcore song back to back, you know what I mean? But that's kind of the level of experimentation we're going for at the moment. Is nothing's off limits, you know?
That's brilliant, though. That's fucking brilliant. I was going to, you know, ask you about oi and stuff like that, because there is kind of a new sort of wave of oi coming out at the moment, like in the punk scene. You see yourself on Slew and Simples, you know, Bottles coming back and stuff like that. Takers and Ewers are still being around.
Yeah.
So you just wouldn't really tack on to that, like, yourselves, because like, the single Shed End Boys is very oi.
Yeah, you like, I mean, like, that's quite a difficult question to answer, right? Because it's like, look, we fucking love oi music, right? And we absolutely, like, I mean, like the types of ethics and community that we were talking about a while ago, that comes very much from oi, you know, and like, and from the bands we talked about earlier, right, who influenced that on us, right? So, like, very much in terms of like what we're trying to do as a band, ties in perfectly with all of that, if that makes sense, right? But like, again, we don't necessarily prescribe ourselves to any one particular style of music, because all that's going to happen then is that people are going to hear one of our shows and go, these guys don't sound like a fucking oi band, you know what I mean? Or these guys don't sound we don't necessarily, some of the songs will, you know, and it's like, oh shit, okay, cool, that, like, there's a huge influence there. No, we're fucking huge fans of Takers and News. I love hearing what the boys and Anastasios and Simpros are doing at the moment. Like, it's all really, really impressive stuff, you know, and like, it's the type of music that I literally listen to on a weekly basis, you know what I mean? Like, so, like, you'll definitely find those influences in there, but I wouldn't necessarily call us an outright oi band.
You know? Yeah, it's even on the you know, I shouldn't bring it up, but even on the fashion side of oi, like, or the belief side of oi, like, I'd be very involved in the culture and ethics of, you know, being a skinhead, but I wouldn't necessarily call myself a skinhead, you know. It's all, you don't want to pigeonhole yourself into, you know, anything in particular, because then if you venture outside of that for any reason, then you're a poser, you know what I mean? Then you're fucking, you know.
I get it. There is kind of a ready-made audience, though. That's the only thing, you like, if you do tack yourself onto something like that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but then you've plateaued. That's a ready-made audience, but that's your only audience.
I totally agree with what you're doing, but I'm also, you know, I'm also an idiot. Yeah.
You're actually the first person to ask the question, Eddie, and like it makes sense that you're asking the question, right? Because it's like, look, that's something that, you know, like, nobody's really been like, hey, what do you think about this, right? Because, like, we've been very much put on these bills with oi and street punk bands, and, you know, like, and, you know, we're very much part of that, you know, that culture within Ireland, right? But again, it's just sort of a case that, like, look, you know, we're very much about, like, the things that really are important about Oi music are the things that I would say we agree with the most, the things that we latch onto the most, right? Which are the, you know, the ethics, the community, you know, like those are the things that really matter, like not as much, you know, necessarily even like the sound of a band or a fashion sense or anything like that, right? Like that, that's so secondary to, you know, the
important. So you would more take the heart of it and then
exactly,
a heart, you're kind of Oi. And then a punk, but you play punk. There's no
label. Yes.
No label. Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely, we, as far as the scenes go and the cultures and the ethics go, I would say that we would be probably closest associated to Oi as a genre and as a culture, but like definitely sound wise, we are, you know, we like to experiment with a bit of everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, like, it just wouldn't be fair of us to, I think, like, put ourselves in the same category musically as, like, you know, the Jollers or as, like, you know, London Riot. Like, you know, I mean, these bands are, like, you know, like the true, you know, pioneers of Oi music in Ireland, right? You know, and the best of the best when it comes to it, you know. So it's just, yeah, I don't think it would be, true to us to say.
Yeah, that. It would be a disservice to all the amazing Oi bands all over the country, you know, for sure.
That's very fucking noble of you, you know. You could jump on a bandwagon, like, do you know what I mean? People do. That's
they do, man. But you figure it out, Eddie. You know, like you can tell. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like anyone with a bit of sense can tell when a band, and like it's just so important for a band to be authentic. Like, and when a band is really trying to be something for the sake of being it, then it's like, you know, like if punk rock means anything at all, right? You know what I mean? Like it's like it doesn't mean that, right? You know what I mean? I'm not going to be the brave man to sit here and tell you what punk rock is, but I can definitely tell you what it's not, and it's not that, you know.
And you can tell when it's legit or when it's for like a marketing reason or for, like you said, the ready-made audience reason. I mean, like, you look at, you know, the likes of the guys in Takers and Users, and you can tell that, like, they're not doing it for any fucking marketing.
They fucking live it.
You know what I mean? They live the gimmick, as you would say. But like, and I think that's, it's important to us to be authentic and not, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Latch onto anything, you know.
It's pretty fucking cool attitude to have, you know.
Especially
especially when you're coming out of the gates and you're trying to make it. Like, that's really fucking cool attitude to have, like, you know.
But Eddie, you're like, I mean, like, we're preaching to the choir here, man. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you've been very much a stable point in that, you know what I mean? Like, and it's like, you know, like what you do in terms of how you've run the, you know, the scene you're running up in Dublin, and, you know, what you've been doing musically over the years, again, like that's like very much a blueprint for what we're looking to do, you know what I mean? Like, so, man, you know, fucking, you're leading by example, brother, you know?
Well, that was our necessity. If we could have jumped on a bandwagon, I think we would have. Nobody wanted us on their fucking bandwagon. Everybody fucking hated us. We had to fucking slog for years, man, to get where we are. For fuck's sake. Anyway.
Yeah, but man, you're doing it, right? You know, I'm fucking like, you know, it's fun to see.
No, anyway, like, I was a fucking lunatic.
But here, brother, what you put out musically, you know, is just fucking, it's the best the country has on, you know, on show, really, and that's the truth, look, you know.
So, it keeps getting better.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. Like, there's an evolution, look, you know, so.
There's better bands than us, but, like, we do a bit, you know. I think we're a really good band, don't get me wrong, I'm not being down there, but there are definitely better bands than ourselves.
Who's your top band in the country at the moment, Eddie?
At the moment, to watch live, definitely Skunts.
Amazing, oh my god, they're fucking, we were supposed to play with them here in Cork back in fucking, was it October, November, we couldn't play the show, like, fucking, and we've seen them and everything, like, and we've traveled to see the lads, like, because they're just so fucking good, like, but
they're a band that, like, if we play before them, we can blow them off the stage, but if they play before us, they blow us off stage every time, like, you know. And it's hard to blow us off the stage. I know I'm blowing my own trumpet here, but it's kind of hard to blow.
No, 100%, man. It would take an awful lot for someone to outshow you, like, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and they do it. And John is a brilliant front man. He's like, I'm pretty sure he writes a lot of the music as well. Like, you know, so he's got a lot going from that guy. Like, you know,
that music. Me and Gary, the first time we ever listened to that album together, like, and the two of us were fucking. We won't even say what we were doing.
Fucking crazy.
slightly impaired, like, and we're sitting down, we're like fucking listening to fucking Cousin Loving and Murdering the Song. Yeah. Like, what the fuck?
Didn't you have that song Fall Apart Gang, which is
I
fucking heard that song and I texted Andy out of the band and Andrew out of the band and I said, if you fucking keep your head together and release that song, like, that could be a fucking proper single. Like, it's a fucking classic song. Like, no.
Man, it's just like, I was seeing a girl at the time, like, I remember, like, and I was just like, here, listen to this, like, you know, fucking, like, murder sounds, you want to be famous, like, put on a fucking milk carton, ring, nigga, 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 the fucking shit. So she was just like, what the fuck type of music are you listening to? I was like, this is the greatest music in the world, like, literally, like, fucking...
So fucking good. Yeah. They're so different as well, like with the washboard and the banjo and the fucking even the look of them, they're so fucking,
they're wild.
So out there, so different, they're fucking amazing.
Wild.
Have you seen On Slew Alive, Eddie?
Oh, very good, yeah. Excellent.
Oh Jesus, they're fucking amazing. Like that EP that they dropped fucking last year, like, I mean, that has to be one of my favorite releases, like, out of, you know, some of the songs in that, Peas and Carrots, Workshop, like, some of these tunes are just like, this is like the best Oi music to come out of Ireland in years, I think, you know. So
I remember the McCann's Brothers, or the band that I knew of, I'm sure they've had loads of bands, but a band called Cut the Reins that I fucking loved. So I knew they were going to be good, you know, when they got together.
Yeah.
You know, and Slew was coming out. I said, this is going to be fucking good, like, you know. So that was kind of expected, like, you know.
Yeah,
EP is fucking brilliant. Like, it's absolutely
incredible. Yeah, it is very good. There's a few new punk bands popping up in Cork now, which is nice to see. We're putting one on here. They're Young Lads. We've got them banging on a show next month with us. Called Slaughtered Youth. I'm looking forward to seeing them. Man, like, they seem kind of fucking balls to the wall kind of punk rock, and it's just good to see young lads doing it too. You know, because it's the same fucking old farts here that we've just been rolling around with for years doing it. And don't get me wrong, imagine me, like, there are some great seasoned bands here in Cork, you know, the likes of Stanton's Grave, who were fucking excellent, like, they've been doing it a long time. But obviously, since the boys and the Joes packed it up with what they were doing, like, myself and Gary and the boys in Easy Company have been kind of really the only ones at the forefront really doing it in Cork for the last, at least for the last kind of 6 months or so. So there's been a bit of an insurgence now that we had a new band, what they call Ever the Optimist. They played with us. Yeah, they were really good. They played, and we got the new band popped up now as well. So yeah,
hopefully. Even some of the younger bands popping up the country, like MAD, are they from the Longford?
Longford was it?
Yeah. And
well, if we keep it in your scene there in Cork.
Oh yeah.
Do you think you're a big influence then for these guys? Like, or do you think you're more or less, again, they can look at you and think, do you know what, we could get a fucking band together.
You know, I'd say...
that, like, crossed your mind? Like, that's because that's probably what's happening. But has that crossed your mind?
Yeah, maybe, Eddie. Like, it's like, look, I'll be honest with you, man. Like, I mean, like 13 years ago, like, when we started playing with the Audible Joes, right, there was no punk bands in Cork, right? There was zero. I mean, like, at that time, like, I'm not even sure that the Jollers had started up at that stage.
It was probably Krill Bean or Mickey Leakes, but they probably would.
Yeah.
Anyway.
There was, like, I know before that, there was like Section 8 or Section 4 that they had, like, you know, and all of that, but that was kind of a few years prior. So that there was this kind of period in time, right, where, like, I remember quite distinctly there wasn't a lot happening, at least there wasn't bands. I know that the Rebel County Drum Corps were putting on gigs, but there was not really any Cork punk bands, right? So we were like, right, we're just going to start a band, right? We're a bunch of kids. We're going to go start a punk band. And for years, man, for like 10 years, the longest time, like, there really wasn't many bands doing it at all, you know? And then post-COVID lockdown, me and Gary started this off at Easy Company. It was around the same time that the Joes, you know, finished up. We were like, fuck it, let's really focus on building a community here in Cork, like we talked about, you know? And like, so we were trying to, we set up, like, you know, the Cork punk rock community and trying to give place for, like, younger kids and stuff like that who aren't necessarily the most, like, you know, I suppose, like, socially confident people, like, and kind of give them an opportunity to have, like, groups of friends and, like, and for, you know, like trying to organize, like, a little bit of political activism with, like, getting a lot of the punks down to, like, a lot of different protests and stuff. So we were actively trying to do these things in the background, you know, and I think, like, I wouldn't necessarily say it's from us as Easy Company, but I think that sort of sense of that
community.
And that framework, sure. Definitely, I would say that we put in place, has, if nothing else, possibly been an encouragement, we'll say, to some of the younger bands, which is good.
Maybe even giving people an outlet to be like, oh, we're all interested in the same kind of music. Maybe we should, you know, get together. But I don't know, I think I hate to say that we inspired bands or something like that. I think that's, you know,
I'd say I'm gonna be doing a few of these interviews later on. I'd say maybe a year or two, and they'll be going, "Oh, I remember Easy Company got us and put, put us under that wing." I bet you any fucking money. I bet you any money.
It's a nice sentiment, brother. But like, I suppose you can't really feed into it too much, right? Because I mean, like, imagine us, if we're here feeding into that sentiment ourselves. Like, I mean, how fucking asinine would that be? Like,
you just let me say it. You don't have the feedback.
I mean, that's not for us to say. That's for you exactly, to say.
Yeah. Not for anybody like, else to say. It. Yeah, it's not for you guys to say. It's for other people to say. 100%.
Yeah.
So political activism is something that you would be entrenched in, or
it's definitely at the forefront of our music, and I would say we're very much entrenched in political activism.
We go to all the protests, you know, and fucking play gigs for bands on behalf of charity.
We played fundraisers, you know, charity benefits for sure.
Be safe to say that you're staunchly right wing. Yeah.
No comment. Okay.
Pictures of Gary Bushell on your wall at home.
It's like that scene in Broader Tension when he walks in with all the fucking SS shit, and he's like, "Do you have anything from the Allies?" It's like, "Oh, that type of thing wouldn't interest me."
No, on a serious note, these are proper guys, left wing. So would you say socialists or communists, or what would you be?
We very all of us. Everyone in the band is kind of on a different level politically, but we're all, you know, tolerant and the main thing for all of us, I think, is tolerance and acceptance and you know, being welcoming and like I would probably classify myself as a socialist, but I wouldn't say you know, it wouldn't be my place to say that about anyone else in the band, you know what I mean? But we definitely have very similar political beliefs when it comes to social issues. Yeah. Maybe we might vary a little economically from time to time, but definitely on social issues, I think we're all very much on the same page. Don't be racist, don't be homophobic, you know, be welcoming, be kind, you know, the things that really matter, you know.
Yeah, humanity, like,
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think they're all pretty much like kind of staple points within punk rock in general as well, right? I mean, like, it's not often you find fucking, you know, far right conservative fucking punk. I mean, well, you do, right? But they're not fucking, they're certainly not in the same punk scenes that we're playing in, right? You know,
so they're fucking few and far between as well, like, to be honest.
Yeah. And these days, man, yeah. I mean, are there even any of them these days? Like, I mean, are there, like, I mean, I don't know, like, fucking, you know.
I don't, there's no venues would put them on, even if there was, you know what I mean? Like, no, I don't know.
Well, probably by mistake or something like that, but they'd be keeping that fucking mouth shut as well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, like, if it was actively happening here in Cork, man, there'd be a gang of us sitting there and we'd be bottling the fuckers, and that's actually not even a joke, right? You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, you know, they'd be, they'd want to be afraid, like, they want to be keeping their mouth shut.
Like, I don't think there's much of a crossover in the Venn diagram of, like, people who subscribe to Ireland First and people who listen to Dead Kennedys, like, you know what I mean?
There was a group here in Dublin, but then this would have been 10, 11 years ago when I was in Mungohorn, maybe younger, actually, maybe 12 years ago. I was in Mungohorn, and they... do you remember that film fucking This Is England came out? So they all thought it was cool, dressed like a skinhead and like being Nazi or whatever, like, you know. But they didn't, like, they were only kids or teenagers, you know, so.
Were those the kids on Temple Bar? Like the ones that were all hanging? Yeah, I remember it, man, because I was actually dating one of the girls, like, and I didn't realize they were all fucking, like, we were traveling up, myself and Ballon the Joes, like, we were traveling up from Cork up to Temple Bar, like, every second week. We're hanging out with all these, like, skinheads and stuff like that, like, and we were kind of like more like kind of skate punks and all this type of thing. And they were like, but eventually they were kind of like roping us in. I was like, oh man, I was like, I love fucking oi music, like, you know what I mean? Like, I love fucking street punk, and all of a sudden I'm listening to fucking, there's certain banging on this fucking, like, you know, I can't remember what fucking bands they were listening to, man, just Screwdriver and all this type of fucking shit, like, and I was just like, Jesus Christ, like, I was like, lads, there's something fucking wrong with a lot of you, like.
Also, way to fucking completely miss the point of This Is England as a fucking movie. Like, it's like the far right in America use American History X as like a recruitment tool for American skinheads. I'm like, what is it? You missed the fucking point of the movie altogether. You'll be watching the same thing, like. Oh, yeah. Like, I'm you know, I love skinhead culture, OG skinhead culture, trad skinhead culture. You know, I'm it's something ethics wise that I'm very much subscribed to. Sharp skinhead culture, ethics wise, I'm very much subscribed to that. But like these people that just miss the point entirely, and miss the roots of where the skinhead movement and skinhead culture came from as well. It's most ironic, you know.
There was a bunch of, you know, proper skinheads took those guys under their wing and like just completely changed their minds, and really like talked to them more so than, you know, we would have been violent with them and hit them and all that, like, where it's them lads talked to them and told them like you're missing the point, exactly what you said about missing the point, like they were saying.
But it's funny you say that as well, because exactly that approach you just talked about, like there's I'm not going to obviously bring up any names or say anyone in specific because that wouldn't be fair, but you know, it was said to us like, oh, you know, that there's like some woman in Cork, you know, like, and they're like, you know, one of these kind of younger kids, and they're kind of falling into that kind of route and things like that, you know. And there was a lot of talks of like, oh, you know, we'll go batter them and we'll fucking, you know, we'll exclude them and all that. But myself and Gary actually said, no, fucking kind of leave it to us. And we made the kind of decision where we're like, look, that type of like social isolation and exclusion, like we think is actually going to like probably drive them further down that path. So we were like, fuck it. Let's sit down and kind of have a word. And don't get me wrong, man, like fucking there's been plenty of times where we fucking resorted to violence. We're no saints either, do you know what I mean? Like, so believe me, fucking getting the fists out is has been a default response on plenty of occasions as well, right? But like it's just that we knew that with this particular person, we're like, oh, you know, like this person comes from, you know, a bit of a disenfranchised background, and like those are the types of people then who very easily fall into these types of fucking pit holes of thinking, you know what I mean? Because they sort of they find a reason and a way to identify and associate with something, and all of a sudden it gives them a purpose and a means to, you know, to ventilate and to, you know, vent their frustration, if that makes sense, right? So we said, you know what, fuck it, like let's try and actually take a different approach, like, and you know, again, don't want to say too much because it's just not really fair to anybody involved, like, but like that's something that we're trying to adopt. That's an approach we're trying to adopt. It's
again,
it's
about, it comes back to that community message, like, you know, it's
It's about educating as opposed to exclusion, really. You know what I mean? Not that we're, you know, political scientists or we would consider ourselves, you know, a moral conscience.
But that's exactly what changed these kids' minds, not us punching them around like that. It was the guys that educated them, like, you know.
Yeah. But I'm sure if they got paid enough as well, they'd like to change their minds.
Yeah.
I think he just wouldn't see them, like, you know, or they'd grow the hair and you wouldn't know them. Like, you
know? Give them a hiding and then have a chat with them.
Well, that's another way of doing it, yeah.
Yeah.
Looking foot in their neck, like, yeah, but anyway. So any closing words?
One more time, Eddie. Sorry.
Any closing words and you want to say?
No, but I think just I want to finish on just saying, I suppose, to Gary's point there, like, look, you know, fucking, we don't want to at all seem either, like, in any way that, you know, we're coming across as sort of, like, people that we think anybody should listen to, right? That's not the point of what we're doing either, right? You know what I mean? Like, we get up on stage, right? And, like, when you go to an Easy Company show, you might get 30 minutes of us talking shit and 30 minutes of us playing music, right? And, you know, like, not all the things that come out of our mouth are, you know, fucking like wise and you know, sort of fucking intended to be taken seriously. You know, we're as jovial as the next people, right? Look, and at the end of the day, we're just fucking musicians, right? Do you know what I mean? Like, we want to have fun, we want to play music, you know, and we want everybody else to have fun, play music. But maybe while they're having fun and playing music, maybe have a think about something as well. You know what I mean? That's kind of the point, right? You know, so
it's like how the EP goes. You know, there's very serious subject matter when it comes to like songs about the Catholic Church's stranglehold on Ireland and you know, being accepting of our LGBTQ brothers and sisters and stuff like that. But then there's a lot of fun stuff on the EP as well. I mean, Punkin' Football is a fun song.
Oh yeah,
about getting drunk and going to football games, and Barry Blackshirt Swordfish is just, you know,
nonsense.
It's a party tune, like, you know what I mean. So what we try to get with the EP is the same thing we try to put across in our shows, where like, yeah, the subject matter is very serious, but we're trying to make it fun and digestible and
jovial. And
jovial. The main point of what we're trying to do is for everyone to have fun. But you know, if you learn something along the way, then that benefits everybody.
It's almost like drag queen story time.
It's exactly like drag queen story time.
You fucking hit the nail. You said it better than we could, Eddie, brother.
Easy Company, this has been fucking deadly. Thank you very much, Alex. Thank you very much, Gary.
Cheers, brother. Much love, brother. Take care, man.
It's Nibba Map.